Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome this week to the C3 Church Global Podcast. This week, we got John Pierce, the pastor of C3 Powerhouse in sunny Queensland on the Sunshine Coast, father to three beautiful children, husband to Danielle, very powerful ministry herself, and the executive director of C3 Church Global. And so it's a delight to have you with us today, John.
It's great to be here, Pastor Phil. Thank you for all you do for us. And I know this podcast has people all around the world who are avid listeners, and I'm one of those, and it's very helpful.
Well, we aim to help. We aim to
try
and help people anyway. And sometimes it is really great to hear back from listeners. So please shoot us an email or press the subscribe button. Rate us. We'd love to know how we're doing. Make a comment so that we can do better than we are. Always looking to improve. And one of the great reasons that we are doing so many incredible things throughout the movement of C3 and in all sorts of areas is John Pierce. He, in his own right, has written a book that we want to talk about today, but has raised up an amazing church there on the Sunshine Coast with so many high quality and wonderful people. I just wanted to get a little bit of John Pierce into the world and make sure that people were gleaning from whatever it is you're doing in that church and from your book. So, John, can you let us know, first of all, what you would think? I mean, we've talked about discipleship, we've talked about the need for a new level of following Jesus. Do you see that as being core in your own church?
Oh, absolutely, Pastor Phil. And I think, you know, for many of us, the last few years of COVID has made us rethink how much we're running church programs, and which are great, but how much and how effective those things are at making disciples. And so I think all of us who are pastors and leaders globally involved in church, we've rethought and are continually trying to improve. So we're not just creating churchgoers, but we're actually creating disciples. So people who are fully immersed into following Christ, they're obedient followers of Jesus. They know his commands and they follow them. And that fruit's evident. So for us, it's a priority. I think we're doubling down on that priority in as many ways as we possibly can to make sure we're not just, churchgoers is obviously a key component of being a disciple, but you're not automatically a disciple just because you go to church. So we want disciples and church going as part of that.
Right. A basic word from disciple would be discipline.
Yeah.
And when we come to the area of finances, oftentimes the church in recent years has been thought of as either they're talking about money to try and get it off you.
Yes.
Or else they're telling you about money to try and convince you that you're meant to be wealthy in life. And in both respects, there's an element of truth in these, obviously, that we are encouraged to give and to be generous, and we are encouraged to do well in life. And the Bible says that. But behind all that is this life of discipline,
yes.
This life of being able to manage. I mean, no matter how good a budget you've got, if you don't stick to it, if you don't discipline yourself to stay within the boundaries of that budget, it will serve no purpose at all. And with this book you've got, the reason I'm just putting the two together is because I know this, that if you can become disciplined in finances, it will
yes.
help you in so many other areas of your life as a disciple of Christ.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, in talking about discipleship, I think one of the things when you're a pastor or a leader or you're walking beside people and discipling them, that discipleship is every area of somebody's life. It's not just their prayer life. It's not just do you have a quiet time. We need to disciple people in every area of their life. And obviously finances is a massive one. And exactly what you say, if we can help people get into good habits, good practices, good mindsets, become generous people, all of those things, and we can disciple them according to the fullness of what the Bible says, then the spillover of that will flow into every area, relationships, in terms of their purpose being fulfilled, all of those things.
So it's amazing that you would be drawing from Scripture instructions for us in the 21st century how to manage our money. And so most people would think of the Bible as spiritual instruction, ministry instruction, offerings instruction, you know, the way of life instructions, and some songs and some wisdom points. But you're actually saying that God's holy book is giving us instructions for how we handle our money, and you've distilled some of those into this book of the wheels of financial
blessing. The wheels of financial blessing.
So give us, I know you've got four big wheels in there.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about these four wheels?
Okay, I mean, the summation of it for me is simple. If people were to imagine their finances like a car, then a car is only going to go if all four wheels are working properly. So it doesn't matter if you've got the best front right-hand wheel on the planet that's super pumped up. If the other wheels aren't equal, then you're going to have problems. You're going to go around in circles. And for me, I guess, part of my upbringing, Pastor Phil, was in a denominational church, and so I kind of created a little bit of a mindset that I thought was biblical, but it wasn't biblical. I needed to redefine my mindset. So over time pastoring, I've found, and this is a metaphor that I believe God's given me to help people, is if these four wheels all work, one's a right mindset, and I'll come back to that in a moment. The next is a wise steward. So that's the areas we're talking about: budgeting, investing, working hard, tithing, wise stewardship. The next one is being a generous person. And the final one is a spirit of faith. And I often find in my own life, if I've ever hit problems and financial challenges, which I have, my prayer is, okay, God, what do I need to work on? Am I being generous? Is there seed in the ground for God to multiply back to me? Am I being a good steward? Am I working hard, or am I just expecting checks to come in the mail? You know, do I have a right mindset, and am I activating my faith? So I think the first one for me is probably the one that you've had the most influence on me, and it's the right mindset. Because I think if you don't get your mindset about money right and line it up with the Bible, then doesn't matter what you're hoping for, you can only pray and expect what your heart and mind really thinks God wants to do for you. What's the will of God?
Fantastic. Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. In fact, Paul, when he's writing to the Romans, he said, look, guys, I want you to have your lives transformed.
Yes.
How? And then he says, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to renew your mind.
Yeah.
Another way you can say to rewire your thinking.
Yes. Get a new soundtrack, Pastor Phil.
I was going to say the John Pierce version of that is get a new soundtrack. Talk about the soundtrack.
All right. Well, look, here's the thing. The soundtrack is what's been programmed into your mind through your upbringing, your experiences, your disappointments. It's the wiring. It's what you think without having to think about it. So for many people, it's going to be one of two things. It's not biblical. For me, it was a poverty mindset. The poverty mindset concept is that God wants me to be poor, that it pleases him if I'm poor, you know. So, and that's where scripture gets taken out of context. Things like, the money is the root of all evil. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Or you hear about a really dedicated monk who's made a vow of poverty. And so if you've been around religion long enough, and I believe it's the doctrine of demons, but if you've been around enough, you'll end up thinking that if I prosper, if I get wealthy, that would be dishonoring to God. So I thought that was my default mindset. And then I started to listen to you preach, and I had to go back to the Bible and go, hang on a minute, God wants to bless me. God wants me to have an abundance, one, because he loves me, and two, because he wants me to give it away and advance his kingdom. So I had to check the Bible out. And it just, over a period of time, I found truth, but then I had to go to work at rewiring my thinking, because I would default to guilt. So if you've got a poverty mindset, you'll feel guilty about enjoying the blessings of God, and you'll judge other people who are enjoying the blessings of God. It's just part of that mindset. You know, then the world's mindset is a materialistic mindset, and that's basically money's the answer to my problems. Money's everything, and if I've got money, I'll feel good about myself and I'll never have any issues. So that's a materialistic mindset. In the middle is the biblical mindset, and that's that God loves me, that he's a provider by nature, he wants to bless me, and he wants to bless people through me. So that's that mindset thing for me. It probably took me about 5 years to work it out and then go to work on my thinking. So an absolute game changer.
Tell me how you went to work on your thinking.
Well, first of all, I had to be convinced that it was Bible. So I did Bible research. So that was my first thing. I literally got an exercise book, and I went through the scripture, at the front I wrote down, here's where God wants me to be prosperous and wealthy. At the back I wrote down any scripture, what God wants me to be poor, and in the middle, nothing. In the middle, if it's sort of God's ambivalent about it. Well, I couldn't find one scripture that showed that God wanted me to be poor. I found stacks that showed me he wanted me to be wealthy. And then a number in the middle, just don't trust it. Don't put your, be content no matter what. So the starting point was just digging the scriptures. And then after that, it was really a matter of confessing them, speaking those out. I think that's how you rewire your brain. You've always said, Pastor Phil, your tongue is the keyboard. To rewire your brain, to reprogram your brain. So speaking those out, and there were some moments for me with a poverty mindset, I had to actually buy some new things and push through the guilt. And whether that be a new car for me, I felt so guilty about getting a new car. So crazy, but I did. And so I had to just tell myself that guilt, which I used to think was actually the Holy Spirit giving me a lack of peace, and it was conviction. But then I realized, no, that's a seared conscience. That's what Timothy says. Paul says to Timothy, that's a seared conscience. You're misinterpreting your emotions, which have been caused by this demonic poverty stronghold, and giving it to God, or it's not God. So I had to just learn to spend money on myself when I could afford it, not on credit, and push through the guilt. And it bit by bit, I became bigger. And then my ability to receive and give became bigger.
Isn't that amazing? And that spirit of, or that mindset of poverty affects so many areas of people's lives. I find that people in that mindset, they can't congratulate anybody on their successes.
Right.
They don't celebrate other people's big wins, or they're suspicious of people who are doing well in life. They would present God with secondhand, shabby sort of service, believing that is somehow more sanctified and more pious. I remember us handing out Gestetner-printed tracts, which were smudged and blurred, and telling the good news of Jesus on the streets. This is like 70 years ago, feels like. And I said, these tracts are really, really bad. And the guy, he said, look, it's for the Lord. Oh. And so that meant it was all okay. And I've been to places where people, I they do the most ridiculous things. I know of one missionary couple who regularly received used tea bags in their food parcel.
So bad, so bad.
Because they're out there working for the Lord. They should be happy with this. And, and so many of those ideas definitely came out of a teaching from the other side. Because to be that person that Jesus said, look, the neighbor, the Christian, is the guy who can pick up the half-dead person on the side of the road, put him on his donkey or in his car, take him to the hospital and say to the hospital, whatever it costs, bill me for it. I'll pick up the tab. It's expensive to be a Christian. To be able to help people in this world, it's necessary that the church is blessed and is able. I don't think it should be consumed with the idea of getting wealthy. I don't think that should be our goal or our pursuit at all. I think
exactly
it is added to us as we make the kingdom of God the first priority. But as it's, as God is trying to add it to us, we should not be repelling it and resisting it or making it a goal in any of these ways. It just needs to be way in second place. Yes. to the worship of God. Third, fourth, fifth place, please. You know, yep. It's not meant to occupy our vision.
Yes, 100%. And that's the challenge, because I think the way we treat money is all about the condition of our heart. And that's so much what Jesus says. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't be all in for the kingdom of God and be all in to get wealthy. However, if your heart's right, and I love this, I think it's Psalm 35:27, if you're a servant of God, if your priority is the kingdom being advanced, the Bible says that he loves the prosperity of his servants. That's God. So I just get this idea that if my heart's right, God wants to bless me. He takes delight in my prosperity. And it's not my goal, it's not my focus, but I don't want to resist it, because that would almost be insulting. If I came to give you a gift and said, "Pastor Phil, I love you so much. Here's a gift I want to give you. I know it's going to bless you." It would be insulting if you said, "No, I don't want your gift." If my heart was there, if it was an expression of my heart. And I do right. think that's what some Christians do, is they almost insult God and say, "I don't want to receive your gift." So,
yeah. I mean, what father in all the universe would not be saddened, would be grieved if they saw their kid living on the street in a cardboard box? That's not yep. going to make you happy, and not enough food, and can't clothe his children or take him on a holiday. And then, on the other hand, what father would not be happy and celebrate when the son or the daughter comes home and says, "We bought a new house, we've
yes.
got a better job, we've got an upgrade." And I don't know anybody who praises the Lord for a downgrade.
No. I think both sickness and poverty can sometimes, Christians, well-meaning Christians, can almost glorify them and go, "Oh no, God's using this sickness and God's using this poverty to develop your character." Now, I understand that God wants to develop our character. However, his name is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, and Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. It's his nature to want to come and set us free from sickness and poverty. I don't think for a moment that being poor or being sick brings honor to God. But somehow that insidious little sincere thing has got into people's minds that, "Oh no, this, you know, not being able to pay my bills is God's way of developing my character." I just think that's such rubbish. And we've right. got to set, as pastors and leaders, we've got to disciple people to get them set free without, you know. And I think this is where people get nervous what's called the prosperity gospel. People get nervous where the defining sort of moment of me as a Christian or my success as a Christian is how many gold rings I've got, how many cars I've got in the garage, and that's the ultimate of my gospel message. Well, it's not. That's not the ultimate of my gospel message. But what we've got to be careful is we don't throw away biblical truth just because some people have taken it to extremes.
Yeah, there have been extremes, and extravagant extremes, which has been unfortunate. Like, as you say, both ways. Mm. Well, I want to tackle one idea that I've found some believers have been told or taught that if they give, they will receive. And, you know, Scripture does say that, but it actually needs some clarifying, I think, because I think they are imagining it's going to fall out of heaven. It's like, I gave in the offering and by the end of the week I was dead broke, you know, just sitting on the couch watching TV waiting for the check turn up. It didn't happen. I think there's other parts to the whole equation way beyond just the idea of giving or being generous or tithes. We really need to understand that, I think, work and all of that entails. If you've got a business, to understand all the disciplines of a business, from product development, research, sales, compliance, marketing, branding, administration, the whole area needs, it isn't just going to accidentally happen. It takes diligence, it takes application of yourself to the whole task. And then, you know, the idea that, you know, somehow God is going to bring blessing no matter how lazy we are. Well, I think that hard work is elevated in the book of Proverbs so that it is saying hard work gets rewarded and you'll be blessed. And so following the scriptural ways as a disciple of Christ, one of the things you're going to be is a good worker, arriving early, leaving late, being diligent, doing a good job. All of those things help us get forward in life. And I often think we should work like, you know, God's never going to help us, but rather than assume he is going to override our mistakes, our lack of application, etc. Rather, work like it all depended on you.
Yes.
And pray like it all depended on God.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. Yeah, I've known Christians who are checking the letterbox at 12 o'clock in the day in their pajamas waiting for God's provision to come in because they heard a story of miraculous provision.
Like, right.
No, that is not how it works. That can be an occasional thing, but I like this. And I wrote a chapter in my book because business is part of my background called Anointed for Business. And I think of it like this. I think God does want to get involved in our businesses and our finances and add a supernatural element. But it works like this. We have to do the natural really well for God to multiply, to add his super to. So if I'm budgeting well, if I'm working hard, if I've got a great mindset around investing and I'm upskilling all the time in all of these areas and I'm really tuned to managing my finances well, that's wise stewardship. Then whether it's, like you said, with my business, whether I'm just continually living on the front foot of how do I develop excellence? That's a wise steward has a spirit of excellence. So how do I develop these things? Then over the top of those, if I'm a generous person, God will, he'll multiply back to us. So I think of it like this. Think of when Jesus wanted to get gold coins for the temple tax and Peter goes, should we pay this? And he goes, yeah, we should. And now a gold coin could have fallen from heaven at that moment. But what did he do? He said, well, what skills, what's Peter good at? He's a fisherman. You go and catch a fish and there'll be a gold coin in its mouth. And I think that's how supernatural provision works, where we do what we're trained at, what we're excellent at, and we Absolutely. Work, and then God brings provision to it. So that's why for me, if someone just thinks my way to breakthrough is just to keep giving and keep giving and keep giving, that's one tire. And if that tire is awesome, doesn't matter if your wise stewardship is bad, you're not working hard, you're not excellent, you're a poor employee or your business, then that's your flat tire. So you've got to go to work on that, not so much your giving.
Right. So talk about the other two tires. You just talked about generosity and stewardship.
Yeah, generosity, stewardship. The first one was the mindset. So we've chatted about that,
sorry,
a biblical mindset. So the last one really is a spirit of faith. And I think so many kingdom things. I think you can be a wise steward and have a right mindset and do well. But I do believe there's a supernatural component that God wants to add to our lives. And the supernatural, we know this, it's always accessed by faith. And I like to think of faith as expectation. So for Danielle and I over the years, we've had moments where our backs have been against the wall. I've had it in business. We've had financial challenges and we've gone through, okay, yeah, we've got a right mindset. Yeah, we're being wise stewards. Yeah, we're working three jobs. We're doing this. Yeah, we're generous. There's seed in the ground for God to multiply back to us. We just need to actually stir up our faith and we were determined every day to pray together and to speak the word of God and to begin to imagine God as a provider, you know, providing for us. And time again, here's the thing. When we've activated our faith for finances, we've seen God really move on our behalf. And not just me, but I've taught these four wheels, you know, probably for 15 years now, Pastor Phil.
Wow. Okay.
And I've heard so many stories of people who just straight away would begin to activate their faith. And the seed's there. It's been sown. They've been generous. But they just needed to water that seed with their faith and they needed to really get on the front foot with it rather than just, oh, it'll happen by itself. And I think that's why Jesus said, pray daily, give us today our daily bread. obviously that scripture, give us today rhema of words from God, but it's also pray daily for provision. And I think when we get into that mindset, oh, God's a provider. He wants to help me. I've seen it in my business at a crazy level of increase that's not natural, it's supernatural, but it came from turning up early to my business and praying for half an hour. So yeah. Time and time again, that when that wheel really gets going, you start to, and this is not about a get rich quick mindset. This is just living a good long term. I want to be generous to my family. I want to be generous for the kingdom of God. I want to increase my equity so I can be more generous. And if all of those things are working together, so that's faith. And someone I know wrote this awesome book called Faith. And I've read that multiple times. And so I recommend in the back of the book that people get your book, Financial Excellence and Faith, because if that's your flattest tire, you've got to go to work on it.
Yeah. Just to be confident and courageous in life is very important. The timid will find themselves constantly walking backwards and retreating, unable to actually, take advantage of opportunities when they come their way. And so I, I'm really into the whole idea of taking steps of faith. Just for example, when Jesus told Peter, who had been fishing all night, and it was his business, and he was good at it, but he had been diligent, he had been hardworking, and he was good at his job, and he was a man of integrity. And he was more than likely generous. He had his mother-in-law living in his house. And so he's got most of the wheels covered, John. Mm-hmm. And so, but when he comes in, he's got nothing and he's a bit negative about it. And Jesus gets involved in his business.
There
he says,
it is.
Watch out now. Let down your nets for a catch. And he goes, oh, I don't really want to do that. And nevertheless, I'll obey you. And I would just say, finally, we really need to close the loop between us and God and our business or our employment and keep him involved. It's not just like there's these static rules in the scripture that are going to tell you how to do, but you should do that. You should follow those rules and stay on those pathways. But that's not all there is. Jesus is alive and the Holy Spirit is here to guide us. Mm-hmm. And once that mindset is correct, we can open our hearts up to be guided into whatever he wants. Now, Peter didn't know whether there was going to be a catch of fish when he started rowing out. He just stepped out in obedience, and he got the biggest catch he'd ever had. Not two boats, not three boats could hold the catch that came in that day. And I believe that if we invite Jesus into our world of work and finance, he is able to guide us, if we're listening, into enormous blessing.
Incredible. 100% agree, Pastor Phil. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. And time again, as pastors and in business, I've found a whisper of God for strategy, whisper of God for reach out to this person or this staff member. Time and time again, that for me is the supernatural advantage. He's in my boat. He's in my business. He's in my church. He's helping me. It's beautiful.
That's amazing. Well, it's been a pleasure and a delight talking with you, John. Always is. And
thanks, Pastor Phil.
Just as a pastor, looking after a congregation, I'm sure that you have overseen people as they've gone through disasters and failures. And in the last 2 years, there've been many people under pressure with the COVID lockdowns. And their businesses have suffered greatly. What's been your advice to them?
Yeah, look, I think that in this season where we've found on one hand, some people are just flourishing because their business was set up for internet or whatever it might be. They might be caravan makers or whatever. On the other hand, people have hit really tough times. I would say to keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. And really there's this place of trust that even if one door closes, that if you can keep your eyes and mindset right, another opportunity will come, a new business idea will come. So I think the principle of faith and trust, and this is my encouragement to people, is just keep looking to God, stay close, and keep tuning in for the voice of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes one door does close and another one opens. Other times we just go deeper in our trust and relationship with God, and we come out stronger the other side. That's Job. He went through 9 months of hell, but he kept his eyes focused on God, and on the other side he had double for his trouble. A double portion was restored. And I think if people can have that mindset that God's for me, that he's going to use this for good, and if I walk closely, then they'll come out the other side and they'll look back. And it's hard at the time when you go through tough times, but look back and go, this is the making of me. This shaped me. This opened doors for me.
Exactly. Exactly. And the failure can be sometimes the best thing that can happen to a person, even if it just teaches us to listen to God next time. Right. Or else to do what he told us to do. And yes, following the guidance of God is part of being a New Testament disciple, so that we follow in the direction he's leading, we follow at the pace he is walking, and we do it in the timing that he dictates. Now, I've found all of those very difficult to do sometimes.
Exactly. It's great in theory, isn't it?
You want me to go where? Like, Peter, you want me to go out fishing after I've been trying all night and we've failed? It's embarrassing getting in the boat again.
Yes. Where? And you're a carpenter. You're a carpenter and we're fishermen. What's going on here? What would you know?
You want me to go in the deep? No. That way out there, all that hard work. And but he did, and he did. He got the catch of a century. Anyway, John, congratulations on your new book.
And thank you so much, Pastor
Phil. You all the best. And how can people get the book?
Oh, we're on Amazon. So pretty much people can jump on. They can get it either in an ebook version, Kindle, or they can get a paperback delivered anywhere around the world. And just search The Wheels of Financial Blessing.
Fantastic. I'm sure it's going to be a blessing, literally, and a big help to a lot of people. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Pastor Phil.
Well, everybody, look forward to talking with you again next week. See you now.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.